Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we praise you today for sending your Son Jesus into the world. We have a Savior. Let's tell the world about it. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to be our King. Thank you that your love reigns forever. And now, Lord, may you speak to us through your word as we look to you for the word for the day. Bless us all. Give us ears to hear what you have for us. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And all people, all flesh, will see God's salvation. This is a refrain you're going to hear several times today throughout this message. From our text, the gospel lesson for this second Sunday of Advent found in Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, which I'll read in Jesus' name. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, he who went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. And then even some soldiers asked him, what should we do? He replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. This is the gospel of the day. The text for our sermon this morning. Amen. Well, here we are, ready to hear God's word for the day. All flesh, all people, all mankind will see the salvation of God. And I'd like to say that it would be true that we see that this salvation of God is upon us, despite what we see in the here and now. We look at our world today, and as we see that there is no doubt, especially in our world, as history has recently unfolded, we think of the national unrest caused during another recent election cycle. We see wars and rumors of war continuing to occupy news cycles around the world. And that we do live in threatening and challenging times, don't we? At home we have one of our political parties wondering what the other is up to these days as he waits in the wings to exert his power. While the other political party wonders why the current president has flip-flopped on the issue of a pardon to his son, saying, "I will never do it," and then all of a sudden, it's done. And then we have people like Elon Musk, for example, on the right, and George Soros on the left. What's Elon got up his sleeve? What clandestine affairs is George Soros seeking to broker through the world of his financial power today? And we have our power brokers and our cultural icons in our day, don't we? We could name many others that have been in the news recently, and all of which carry a certain amount of influence in our culture today. And that's where we begin in our text for today, with the reference in Luke chapter 3 to all those who were in power at the time in Israel, and even in the world of the Roman Empire. Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate, Herod the Tetrarch, and on it goes listing those individuals who are in power, who are looked to as those with influence. And whether we're talking about the Bible times or times like today, it may seem like God is somehow limited in his control of what's going on in the world, that he is not necessarily on top of everything that's happening in our world, that God's agenda somehow is not the agenda that seems to be carried out in our midst. But today, God invites each one of us to look by faith beyond what our eyes see going on around us in the world, in the culture, and to focus on the great and coming day when God's promised reign will usher in a life of perfect peace. That's what our word teaches us. That's what is declared for us, that there is this great and coming day when God's promised reign will usher in that life of perfect peace, harmony, and joy. Can you see it? Can you see even a glimpse of it? We will see it in its fullness. Perhaps not us, but the world will see it when Christ comes again. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. And yes, we have seen a glimpse of it in our lives, haven't we? And what is that glimpse? Well, in a word, that glimpse is Jesus. He came as a babe in a manger, visited by shepherds in the manger from the surrounding fields of Bethlehem. Then he was visited by the Magi from the east. He preached the truth about who he was, and he performed miracles to confirm his coming. And we just acknowledge the fact that it is during this Advent season that we remember the first coming of our Savior, Jesus, one who was predicted as the Messiah, the Savior. But we want to also, during this Advent season, prepare our hearts for his second coming, that day when his agenda, his love will be fulfilled in the world. There is a day coming when all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord, as it says in verse 6 of Luke chapter 3. Now, let's not mistake what that means. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, which was our epistle, says, "Therefore God has highly exalted him." This is speaking of right after his resurrection that he has died. It says God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. Well, does that mean that Jesus will in the end save everyone? It says in Philippians chapter 2 that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. But notice what it says about that. Every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and even under the earth. Even those who are awaiting their final judgment in hell. Having not believed, having died in this world, and having not believed in Christ as their Savior. They too will bow at the pronouncement that Jesus Christ is Lord. And He has come. And He is establishing His forever kingdom. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Above the earth, on earth, and under the earth. To the glory of God the Father. And therefore, we look at verse 8 of our text today, which says, well, it teaches us what repentance is. John the Baptist came preaching a baptism of repentance. We could say that it is for us today as God's people, as we await His second coming, to have a spirit of repentance in our lives, to turn from sin for the forgiveness of sin. But even more so, our text points to what repentance looks like in a very practical way. Yes, there is sorrow for sin. Yes, we confess our wrongdoing before the Lord, but there is more to repentance. It says in verse 8 of Luke 3, our text, produce fruit in keeping with repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance is just not some vague awareness that, yeah, we're all sinners. Everybody has sinned before God. And we seem sometimes in acknowledging that truth very cavalier about that. I find it in my own life. The acknowledgement that I'm a sinner. And we know it's right at the heart of the gospel that forgiveness is ours. But is there any motivation to, in our lives, bear the fruit or produce the fruit that befits repentance? God is interested in that for our lives in the here and now. We look at that fact as we understand the times in which we live. There are many people who need to know Christ. There is much that we can be involved in. We have a glimpse of what God is doing and will do as He brings history to its culmination. And what is that glimpse? That glimpse is Jesus. He is our strength. He is our salvation. He is the one who was born in that manger we sing about. He is the one whom the Magi came to worship. He preached the truth and performed miracles. He did all of that. We look back on that today, don't we? As we sing the carols, we're reminded of what God in Christ did as He came into this world for the first time. And we rejoice and we celebrate the fact that Jesus came. We look back, however, to that time, but we also look forward. We look forward because Scripture points us forward. We look back on His incarnation, His coming to this world as flesh. We also look back on His resurrection, which is His vindication and restoration. It's the proof of His lordship and the fact that He is the Son of God. He directs our focus today, however, to the future and the promise of His return yet again at the culmination of history. And this is the promise that sustains us in our faith, and it shapes our lives around a hope that is living and eternal. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. And this is actually beginning to show in our lives right now. None of us in our lives are perfect and without sin. We know that our actions are at times improper. We know about our thoughts and what we're capable of thinking, how self-centered we are in the way we live our lives. What shall we do? We ask ourselves the question that was asked of John the Baptist. What shall we do then? As he preached his message of repentance. And the answer wasn't something like, well, leave on a journey to the Himalayas, climb Mount Everest, and build a shrine to my glory. It wasn't do something, go on a journey, go on a pilgrimage. It wasn't something like that. But rather, if you have two tunics, two shirts to wear under your robe, and you don't need to give one away. If you have enough food to eat and even some leftover, give some food to your neighbor who might be in need. Do the thing that is right before you to do. Do what is practical and doable. To the tax collectors, Jesus said, stop charging more money than what is owed. Be honest in your dealings, in your occupation, and what it is you do. It's very practical. It's right in front of you. Bring forth the fruit of repentance. Practice integrity in your lives. We don't do this for works righteousness. We've been declared righteous by God through Christ and His finished work on the cross. That's never in doubt. And I don't say all of this today to put any of us in worry about our status with God. But in terms of the life we live today as Christians, and to know the fact that it is true that all flesh shall see the salvation of God, and it's already beginning to show in our lives, let's continue to let it show. Let's demonstrate the fruit of repentance in terms of what we do, the things that are right before us to do. Show love to our neighbor. Be generous in our lives toward others and their needs. Be honest in our interactions with the taxes we pay and the other areas of life that require us to do things that demonstrate a life of integrity in this world. Fulfill your vocation. To the best of your ability, knowing that even as you go to work every day, you're honoring God. He's given you this vocation. Live out Christ in that workplace. I've had some wonderful experiences as a retired pastor working at a department store locally. And the opportunities to share my faith, to, in love, talk to people, point the way toward a better hope in life than what you're living for. And that the answer is found in Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's challenging. You can't go in great depth with people, especially when you're on the job necessarily, but there's ways to communicate the love of Jesus and what it is you're about. A lady came up to me a while back and said, I heard you're a man who prays. Would you pray for my daughter who's struggling in college right now? And I said, I'd be happy to pray for your daughter. And right now she's working at the store during her college break. And I've had the opportunity to meet her. And she knows I've been praying for her. That some of the struggles she's having with her future, her career, what she should do, is something that other people care about. It's the way we shine our light in the world. It's the way we live out our faith. And that's what we're called to do today during this Advent season and every day of our lives, actually, is to let our light shine. to let the fruit of repentance begin to show forth in our daily living. And so that's a word to us today from God. And I close today in a verse from Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen.